So welcome to our inquiry period together. Firstly, I will explain the form. There's an empty cushion here. That's for one of you. And the invitation is that you come with a question that's perhaps arisen from your practice, or you may have an experience that you would like to see into and understand more. Or you may have a more general question, but it's always best if it's not a theoretical question, but really something that touches your heart. The purpose of the inquiry is freedom for all those listening, as well as those speaking. And sometimes you'll see that there's a freeing up from stuck places, the places where we cling to ideas or particular views, or there's a shift, a kind of inner shift that's occurring. As you listen, you are also participating in the process. So your fine, attentive listening, which needs to be very respectful, of course, is really precious, and it helps deepen the inquiry. Sometimes the inquiry goes on for a long time up here, but I mean also afterwards, that there's a reflection on what's been said and what's taken place and the feelings and the experience of actually participating in the inquiry process. As you listen, you'll also notice that you'll be touched by some of the inquiries. Others, you may have a kind of commentary going in your mind. Just check your own responses. See what's happening. You might be sitting there thinking, oh, Radha shouldn't be saying that. She should say something else. That's a really common one. So just the practice is actually seeing what happens for you as you listen as well. And of course, keep the intention in mind. It's really to explore the Dharma teachings so that we can live a wise and free life. In between each inquiry, there'll be a few minutes of silence together. We'll just sit quietly and let any feelings that have arisen settle. And then I'll ring the bell and ask for the next person. So let's begin by sitting quietly. And of course, the inquiries are recorded, but if you don't wish for the recorder to be on, either Tovana's or mine, you just say so. And there's an off button. It's as simple as that. So let's sit quietly together. Yes, anybody? Yes, come. And if you would please just say your name in the beginning.
Yes, Idan.
Idan, welcome.
Thank you. It's not so, I don't have like a firm I don't know what exactly how I'm going to phrase this, but...
Go ahead.
So I'm dealing with what seems to me like obsessive thinking, like a very recurring thought.
Yes.
That arises from a strong emotion towards someone.
Yes.
That I don't control.
Yes.
That someone, or it seems what I feel. And...
So that is the someone you know, or a more public figure?
Someone I know.
Okay.
A relationship.
Okay. Oh, okay. And are you willing to say what the obsessive thought might be, or to give us a little clue or a hint?
Yeah. Basically, it's feeling that the emotion of that other person might change, like this lack of control that I have over that other person.
Yes.
Makes me feel insecure.
Okay.
And makes me, I feel like I'm in constant relating with that person.
Yes.
In here, sitting, like every experience, I take it on how does it reflect and affect that other person, our relationship, wanting to share it, wanting to say it, a clinging, I feel.
Okay. So is it that you're concerned about being accepted or rejected?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So this is the duality, isn't it? And when you feel accepted, things are good. When you feel rejected, based on the feelings of the other person and what kind of day they're having, then what happens to you? What happens to the heart?
I see difficult emotions coming up.
Yes.
I wanna somehow gain the power back.
Yes.
There could be jealousy.
Yes. I want to be in control.
In control.
Yes, yes. So this is the I thought, isn't it? The self thought emerging and saying, I want to be in control of the other. What else is it? What's arising within you?
Right now.
I know, I was referring to in the dynamic of the relationship.
When I think I'm being rejected.
Yes. There's hurt. There's pain.
There's pain. There's anxiety or
yes.
fear.
Yes.
There's seeing life in a more negative way in general. Myself and
yes.
and everything basically colors everything.
It's a recipe for suffering, isn't it?
Yeah.
This dynamic. Okay, can you see a way through from just what we've said? Anything occur to you that might help?
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciation to myself, which is not so easy in those moments, but
yes,
when it comes, when there's appreciation, when there is gratitude,
yes,
to that person, to myself, and to other people. And
okay, so when there's appreciation or softness or care inwardly and outwardly, that really helps diffuse this dynamic. So the desire that you're caught in, the I desires the approval of the other.
Absolutely.
Yes. It's the stuff of relationship, isn't it? So can you be steady with acceptance and rejection? This is what's asked of us in the Dharma. How can you be steady with the feeling world? What helps? You said that feeling appreciation helps.
Letting go?
Yes, indeed. Letting go of what?
Trying to figure out and control and...
Exactly. But more than that even. So it's letting go of trying to figure out, control, and control the other's responses. But the I that wants to control and wants a certain outcome and desires a certain outcome is already caught, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the self construct. And when the other rejects us, we generally feel we're not good enough or inadequate or all those kinds of feelings as well. So we're really in trouble.
Yeah.
Okay. So. If you see through, have you had any experiences where your sense of self has dissolved or fallen away in your practice or in life just generally?
Yeah.
Please tell us.
A specific moment.
Yeah. If you can just recall, it can be a simple moment. Where the self, the I, the me, was not in the forefront of consciousness.
There was a moment after a very long meditation full of a lot of effort where I just I lay down for a moment and then I just it collapsed.
Yes. And the self that was striving and trying and pushing and wanting just dissolved.
Yeah.
There's your clue. You see? So when we are caught in desire, when we're caught in wanting, wanting something other than what is, wanting the other to be a certain way, we're already bound. And we're already caught up in self and the self that wants, the self that wants to control. And so one way of cutting through the whole thing is to see that the self, the I, is put together. It's fabricated. It's an idea. It doesn't actually have a concrete reality. We're a shifting, changing mass of feelings and sensations and thoughts and views and ideas and concepts, aren't we?
Sometimes it seemed that way.
Yeah. Okay.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes it seems that way. And then there's something else. There's this collapse of the self that you described. So in that very moment where you just went, oh, I'm going to give up. Give up the struggle, you give up trying. Was there any difficulty?
It just happened.
Yes, it just happened. It just happened. And so in that moment, the problematic ceases. There was no wanting the situation to be otherwise. You understand? Yes.
There was no effort.
Yes. Yes. So when we're quite free, it's effortless. There's ease. There's an ease of being. And this is what we need to bring to our relationships. And look, it's terribly difficult. I'm not saying it's easy. But another question for you.
Yes.
What embraces acceptance and rejection? What embraces both things?
Compassion.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Love and compassion And the capacity of your heart embraces the totality of things. Joy and sorrow, acceptance and rejection, the light and the dark. So this is the key, okay? So right now, sitting, not caring if they accept or reject you, yes, you can feel that. So what? So what? There's as many views in the room as there are people, yet they just all wash off. They just, you know, this heart can embrace them. Yes.
It's intense.
Yes. Yeah. Can be. Let's just free up a little bit more. So, just looking out there and looking with a heart that's receptive, that's open, that's fearless. And looking with a love that's not conditional on whether someone loves you back, but just looking. What are you experiencing right now?
I don't know.
Mm.
My heart is full of something.
Beautiful. So when you just look with a full heart, with love and compassion, the problematic ceases, it ends. And then you can contain the response of the other, whether it's acceptance or whether it's rejection. Not dependent upon the emotional state of the other.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, anybody? Yes, come. Welcome. And if you can say your name for everybody, please.
My name is Maya.
Maya. Welcome.
Thank you.
You might have to speak a little loudly.
Does it work?
Hmm?
Okay. So my question is, the feeling that arises, it's not new, it's not just arise in the cushion. I came with it and it is there in the cushion. It's a feeling of despair.
Yes.
About the state of this country.
Yes.
Fear, despair, disbelief, and really not wanting it to be so. So yes. When you talk about suchness and accepting, I'm like, yeah. She's not from here.
I don't think I talked about suchness and accepting.
Oh, maybe you talked about suchness. And then I thought, you maybe understand that she does.
Okay. So the despair is about the state of Israel at the moment and all of the horrific things that have happened in Israel, in Gaza, in the West Bank.
Yeah, all that we are doing to other people. And a feeling of stuckness and really despair. I think that's the most accurate word I can say.
Yes. And that I can totally and utterly understand. The despair, I think, was there when I was here last time. Before October 7th, I felt the despair that democracy was ending, that I had never seen Israelis and this Sangha so disturbed and distressed. So that was September 2023. And then, of course, the horrific events that followed unleashed this wave of revenge and violence. And it's extraordinary. I mean, my heart, I live far away, and my heart has been breaking because of it. And for those of you here, it's, I mean, it must be so painful. Yet, we are asked to have a response, each of us. And so our response needs to be a response that doesn't come from hatred and ill will, but is a wise response. This is what the Dharma asks of us. It asks for wise action in response to that which is happening, no matter what is happening. So, for you, what is your wise response to the situation? Falling into despair, understandable, but perhaps won't really change anything. Mm-hmm. So what's your wise response, my dear? And I know from talking to you earlier that you've experienced an incredible loss.
You know, theoretically, the wise response is always love.
Mm-hmm.
But practically, what I feel in my heart is despair. I cannot find the love.
Yes. Okay. Okay. So maybe together we can find the love, all of us. Are you willing? Say a little more about the despair and your heart and the things that you're feeling.
I'm feeling ashamed, deeply, deeply, deeply ashamed that my government, my army, my country is doing that to the other people. Just ashamed. And I can't help, but my mind goes to the future all the time, and the future looks just dark, really, really dark. Mm. And I don't see the light.
Okay. Okay. I don't have a solution for you. I'm so sorry. There isn't one. But together, I think we must find it. So things look rather dark right now. There's a situation of horror occurring not far from here. Yet, what I see and hear in the hall is a group of, you know, extraordinary people who live a very ethical life, who want happiness, want to live a life of wisdom, compassion, and care. So that's where we start. We just start right there, and we all do the tiniest bit that we can possibly do in order to bring about the change. That's why I'm here, so that I can offer, hopefully, a little moment of sanity, that I can perhaps share the burden, that weight in your heart. And it's not just you, it's many people. But the heart can despair, but the heart can also hold all joy and all sorrow. The two go together. The two aren't separate.
I hear you, but I don't get what you're saying. Experientially,
you're feeling the pain.
When you're saying love and despair are inseparable, it doesn't sink in me. Mm.
Okay. All right. So you feel the despair right now. Can you bring some care and love to that right now?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. There it is. That's it. You understand now?
Yeah.
You feel the despair in the heart, the aching heart, the painful heart, the burdened heart. Yet you can meet it with kindness that is your nature. Yes. Yes, that's it. So you meet it with incredible compassion, care, friendliness inwardly. You start there. Yeah.
I can do that.
You got that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can do that.
I can do that.
And then, of course, the care and friendliness and the love and compassion doesn't stop at the skin. It radiates out to all others. And so this is what we can each do. So rather than fall into helplessness, and helplessness is one of the words that I've heard most often in the last 10 days or so that I've been in Israel, rather than fall into helplessness, we acknowledge our despair and pain and hurt and agony and meet it with friendliness. And there's that transformation we just saw, that release from the despair. And then the love and the care and the friendliness becomes your life. It doesn't deny that there's painful things. Of course not. That would be absurd. Of course there's loss. And you know it well. Yet even in the face of that, you're smiling, loving. This is the wisdom of the Dharma, a wise response. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for your honesty and your vulnerability. It's precious. Yes, anybody? Yes, come. Hello.
Hi.
What's your name?
Liat.
Liat, welcome.
Thank you. I wanted to talk about the filter that I see live that changed since October 7th.
The filter,
like the glasses that I see through.
Ah,
okay.
Yes.
I kind of think that I lost all sense of joy and happiness. Oh. And the feeling of enthusiasm from little things.
Yes.
And big things. And I see people around me going on with their lives and, you know, got back to work and travel and everything. And I just, I can't do it. And it also influenced me as a mother, as a partner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have no passion towards my husband, and with my kids, I just do what I have to do. And knowing the Dharma, it almost, you can say, took away the possibility even to take away my own life, because it's useless. As I believe.
Oh.
And not my life, but taking it away. Yeah. Mm.
Okay.
So.
So it seems to you that joy is inaccessible.
Yeah. And it's not like I had these feelings before, but it was kind of neutral.
Yes.
But this time it's not neutral. It's not even depression. It's like just seeing life as like, what's the point of everything?
Mm-hmm.
I hardly work. I had clinics and I closed them. And I was a very friendly person, and I isolated myself for the past 2 years. And
So you've barricaded your heart against the pain.
Yeah, kind of.
Kind of, yes. So you've withdrawn from work, from people, from your lover, mm-hmm. even somewhat from your children.
Yeah.
And yet that place of withdrawal is so painful for you.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, could there be another way?
Well, there has to be another way.
Yes, there has to be another way. There has to be another way. Because you're a bright, gorgeous, beautiful human being and you've walked from there to here in order to find another way.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's do it. What needs to be let go of?
I don't know.
Is the withdrawal serving you?
I feel that like part of me is happy about it. Like want to be in this situation.
Part of you is happy about it?
Yeah.
Because?
Because this is
but
the way
But you said there was
be.
No joy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because?
Because like this is the way it should be. Until things will, until the hostages will come back
yes.
and the war will end. And then I will find my happiness. Like, this is the way I think.
Okay. So you're saying whatever there is suffering in the world, and I appreciate how painful it is to know that the hostages are still there. Whatever that is occurring, I can't be happy, is the conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. That's actually not the Buddha's suggestion. Did you know that? It isn't. In fact, quite the opposite. There's a wonderful verse and it goes, live in joy, live in peace, even among those who hate. So it's important, if we're going to understand the Dharma, to discover how we might go from our reactivity of withdrawal to understanding and the natural capacity of our heart again. Because if we're contributing, if we're not contributing compassion, love, joy, peace, we're not helping another, are we?
Right.
And neither are we helping ourselves. We're
right.
hiding, withdrawing, we're shutting down, we're punishing ourselves. And of course, those close to you are also feeling all the repercussions of that rather naturally. So, what to do? Can you let go of the view, I can't be happy if others are sad or if others are suffering? I'm not saying we should go around pretending to be happy. And I understand the sorrow. But if we're stuck in a joyless world, it sounds a bit bleak to me. And it's not the natural capacity of our heart mind.
I know that there was suffering before the October 7th.
Okay, of course.
Yeah, and there will be after the
yes.
hostages will come back. And
yes.
For sure, because this is the way things work. But for me, like I'm digging and I can't find the reason that made me happy before. I try, but it's gone. It's like it's not make me... It doesn't make me happy anymore.
Okay.
All the things that
no.
used to.
Okay.
Okay. So.
So maybe you can have a bit of my joy. Hold my hand. Come on. I've got plenty. You can have some, all right?
Where is your source?
The source, the joy comes, and it is not dependent upon conditions. There is a joy that we can find within that has nothing to do with the situation in the world. And the Buddha called it the joy that is not dependent upon conditions. There's many types of joy, of course. There's the joy of meeting a friend. There's the joy of receiving a gift. There's selfless joy when we're happy for somebody else. But there's also an extraordinary joy that we can touch into.
Extraordinary.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. Can you feel it?
No.
You're smiling.
Yeah, I'm smiling because you're smiling.
Yeah, that's right. It's contagious.
So when something like doesn't go the way you you find the core of joy inside of you.
Yes, and I really understood this when I had a fractured leg.
A what?
A fractured leg.
Yeah.
And I was on crutches for 1.5 years. I had a bone marrow response. And I realized that I could be incredibly joyful. I couldn't walk. I felt a lot of pain in the body, but there was still joy. Why? There was a joy that was accessible, and it was just there. So the heart, I'll let you go now, the heart has a natural capacity for joy. You knew it before, so you have to trust that it hasn't disappeared, but our heart does have an extraordinary capacity for joy. It's one of the divinities of the heart, the Brahma Viharas, the divine abodes. It's one of our homes. And it goes along with love and compassion and equanimity. And it's accessible. So we can find it even when we're in a difficult physical state. It's there. It's accessible. I know it. I promise you. So my encouragement to you is to look within and really see whether you can find a sense of peace and joy and love and care that has nothing to do with the outside world. So right now, just do it. And people will help you. So if you would just sit quietly, touching into an inner peace and joy. What do you feel?
Numb.
Numb. Okay. That's an improvement on despair. Okay. So numb. Are you willing to be patient?
Yes.
Okay.
I came here.
Yes. And the instructions for joy are coming tomorrow. You're ahead of me. Okay. And I promise you, before the end of the retreat, you will feel some joy. Yes. Okay. Thank you. So just offering a short reflection. With the first inquiry, we heard about relationship. And we saw how the self is constructed, and the self wants to control, or when the I thought arises. We're already caught in wanting our relationship to be a certain way. When we're rejected, we feel pain and we're hurt. When we're accepted, we feel okay. Yet that is a really unstable situation because we are dependent upon the reactions of another. And the feeling world is impermanent, shifting, and changing. And so the other person's feeling world is shifting, changing, impermanent, different 1 minute to the next. And so if we rely, if our happiness is dependent upon that, we're in trouble. And so one way is to really start to look and see, can I meet life without reacting to acceptance and rejection? Can my heart contain both of those dualities? Because fact is, sometimes people will reject us and sometimes they'll accept us. That's how it is. So it's about being rather steady with the way that we meet life, the way we meet the world. And then we can find this loveliness within that we saw of compassion, of kindness, of friendliness. And then we're not caught depending on the mood of the other for our well-being, because there's no freedom in that. So the recipe, of course, again, is compassion, love, kindness, and steadiness in the face of acceptance and rejection. Steadiness in the face of love and hate, the light and the dark, all of the dualities, success and failure. And so we practice equanimity to the feeling tone of experience. So whether something is pleasant or unpleasant, we can learn to be steady. And then we're free to respond. With the second inquiry, I heard the despair about what it is to live here at the moment. And I know that there'll be many different views around the room and many different responses and many different feelings. Yet the common thread that I've seen is one of difficulty. Like, it's difficult being Israeli at the moment, I think. And it's one of pain, it's one of sorrow. And so the task is, how can we not deny the sorrow and the pain that everyone has been through, but how can we meet it with wisdom? What's the wise response? And we saw with Maya, well, I could see from here anyway, the loveliness of the sweet, loving, friendly inward response. And then, of course, our response becomes one of compassion and care. So again, it's about being friendly inwardly. It's about love, care, compassion, kindness. So we meet our despair like that, because love liberates, love transforms. And we could see the transformation. And of course, with the third inquiry, we heard about the absence of joy. And it's not she's not the first person to speak about this. Yet, during the last retreat that I taught here, just last week, many people came to me to say, I have not felt joy for so long. And yet now I can just feel it again. I can feel the peace, the joy, the steadiness, and the feelings start to emerge through the whole being. So we have to trust the Dharma practice. And tomorrow I will give some instructions on joy. So there are many kinds of joy, as I said earlier. But one of the most profound joys is the joy that comes that is not dependent upon anything else. It's the joy of awakening, really. It's the joy of not being bound to anything. So it's boundless joy. It's joy unbound. It's immeasurable. And these are the teachings of the Buddha. And it may be that today you are not feeling that one bit. That's okay. Just be friendly with what it is that you are feeling. And then the transformation will gradually take place. This is the path. This is the practice. So I wish you well. And I want to thank the three who came and spoke so sincerely, with such vulnerability. It's precious, and I appreciate it deeply. And I hope in that somehow something has touched you and at least helped a little to unburden your heart. Let's just sit together quietly.